We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and Evan, on the fan, Joe and Evan, on WFAN.
All right, 10:05 on the fan, and a very good Wednesday morning to you, the midday show. Joe Beningo, Evan Roberts, 877-337-6666. Is the phone number. We're here till 2 o'clock, the extra hour for you. Oh, my God, we get paid extra. It's great. And then CMB will come your way. The very jovial Dove Kramer. Still complaining about mass, you know, NJ Transit. Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. We're live from the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear Deli Meats and Cheeses. Only at ShopRite. Bro, how are you?
Fantastic.
I could tell.
You know what I did last night?
I see you had nothing. You watched the Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson thing.
After that.
What'd you do?
I started going on
YouTube. Change Jets diaper?
No, he was sleeping. He sleeps the night now. I'm a very lucky man now. He's in a bed. It's great.
Great.
I went on YouTube and just started watching old basketball games.
Oh, yeah.
That's how little there was last night.
How far back did you go?
I went back to game 3. 1992 Nets Cavs first round,
wow.
The Petro game.
That's a game you lost that series in five, if I'm not mistaken.
In four.
Was
in
it
93,
four?
They lost in five. Okay. And then 94,
what
they lost in four to your team.
Well, I remember that.
I'm
what
sure
was
you
the
do.
Year? I remember Derek Coleman had a big game there for them,
yes,
at some point.
Yep.
In
well,
that series.
The game I was watching was the Petrovic game, in which they were trailing most of the game. They were down by seven with about 5 minutes to go. Petro hit a bunch of threes, and they held on to beat the Cavs, and they lost the next game. But I just wanted to watch something. You know,
right,
when your teams aren't on, you're looking for something.
Right.
So that's how I got through my night. And you know what else I did?
What'd you do?
And don't hate me for this.
Why
I was curious. Well, you'll hear what I'm about to say.
Uh-oh.
I'm not a big fan of Yasmani Grandal.
Okay.
Right? And there's a few reasons why. Number one.
Bad postseason?
Well, I think it's too simplistic to say bad postseason, but I would say this. The Los Angeles Dodgers decided, my cousin Dave Roberts decided,
right,
that in the NLCS and the World Series, he was better with Austin Barnes being a starting catcher than Yasmani Grandal. I mean, think about that. He benched Grandal, Joe, throughout the NLCS and through the World Series for Austin Barnes, a career 205 hitter. Does that not concern anyone else about Yasmani Grandal, or is that just me? Number two, not just this postseason, if we care about playoff numbers, the guy's got a career batting average in the postseason of 107, which is almost tough to do.
So let's get back to what were you crunching numbers on the catchers?
Here's what happened. I started interacting with Met fans, and I saw that one of the positives, and reading some of the, because I like reading the other side.
Okay.
It's like in politics. I want to hear the other side.
Okay. The other side meaning what?
Why people like Grandal.
Oh, I see.
Right?
Okay.
So one of the arguments for Grandal is pitch framing. He's a great pitch frame. So you know what I said to myself? I said, self, how do they even figure out what pitch framing actually means? Like, how do they calculate the stat? Is it stupid like war where I can't figure it out? I was surprised to see that the way they calculate pitch framing is actually kind of simple. Do you want to hear this?
You could tell me. I mean,
you don't want to hear it, but you're
again, these are guys who just have very little life if they're sitting there calculating pitch framing.
Yes. Well, I didn't calculate it. Let me just say, I was just reading it.
Unbelievable.
So, you know how umpires suck?
Well, yes, I'm well aware.
So, you know how you're watching a game and you'll say, hey, that's a strike, but they called it a ball?
Yeah, oh, God.
And then vice versa?
That's at least 10 times a game, I say that.
Okay. That is exactly how they calculate pitch framing. They say, how many times did the catcher catch a ball that was a strike and it was called a ball? And how many times did he catch a ball that was called a strike? And they figure that over the course of a big sample size, it's not really the umpire sucking. It's the catcher framing the pitch. Your thoughts?
Okay.
Do you buy that?
No. I think the umpires suck. they do. I mean, there's no other way to say it. They stink.
Even over a big sample size when it's different umpires.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. And it's just, you know, the fact that we are talking. No, seriously. I mean, really. For the guys that are my age, that we actually are like guys are wasting their time on pitch framing. When they, I mean, there's other things. There's better things in life to be doing.
Can I ask you this?
I mean, do something.
Can I ask you this?
When you're pick apples or something.
Pick apples?
I don't know.
That's actually pretty fun.
It's got to be more fun than figuring out who's pitch framing better than the other guy.
As a baseball fan who's watched baseball since the 60s.
Right.
Do you think
there's the Eiffel Tower in Vegas.
Oh, yeah. And they got a fake Empire State Building, too. They're great. They a lot of fake stuff in Vegas.
Well, yeah. What's the name of that hotel again? I can't think
of it. New York.
No. Where the Eiffel Tower is.
Oh, I don't know.
It's,
Paris. So,
I think that's it. I think you're right. Is I think
really?
That's something like that.
That's
yeah.
Good. What
I
a guess.
Think it is. Anyway, go ahead.
Do you put any value on a catcher's ability to frame a strike? Is that important to you?
No.
Okay. So what
I can't say it is.
So here's my question, because I want to figure out.
No. My big important is you like to see the guy hit a little bit, but even more important is him be, you know, running the pitching staff and being a good defensive catcher.
How about throwing out base runners?
Yeah, well, that's part of being a good defensive catcher.
Oh, okay. All right. No, because I'm curious.
Yeah. No, that's part of it.
Gary Sanchez is a great example of this, right? Gary Sanchez is above average at throwing out base runners.
No,
those are the facts.
But he's below average in pitch framing.
No. Not pitch framing, but Yankee fans will tell you he can't block a ball in the dirt.
Well, he also has trouble even catching balls.
So what is Gary Sanchez as a catcher, in your opinion, defensively?
Not good.
Even though he throws out above.
Well, here's what I would say. I will give him defensively a C. How's
okay.
That?
Well, it's mixed. That's what it is.
Right.
You know what it is? It's kind of like what we've talked about, our repertoire in school. I would get an A in history
and then
a D in science, but my average would come out to a C+.
Yeah, right.
Right?
You're right. And that
so
was
that's
like
Sanchez.
Doing very little.
Right.
Like, I mean, study. I didn't waste my time studying.
Like Gary Sanchez.
Right.
Or maybe not.
Dove,
did you study
in school, Dove? Dove's at that fate. He probably
did. I crammed.
You crammed. I never crammed.
Crammed.
Did you study in school, Ernie? Did you? Seriously. Did you?
I did. For history.
Well, I didn't need to
study
for
the things you care about.
Right, yes.
For the things you care about, right.
You like science and math? No.
I waste my time.
You gave Gary Sanchez a C.
You know, dissecting a frog just wasn't getting it done for
me. I walked out when we did that.
I mean, are you kidding me?
I was disgusted. I was like, I can't do that.
I did that. I had a very attractive lab partner, so that kind of made it all right.
So she did all the work for you?
Well.
Or he did all the work for you?
No. Well,
I don't know.
It was a woman. We'll put it that way.
Listen, I don't know.
But, I mean, I didn't do anything. No. You think I care about it? My wife's very much in.
Dissecting frogs?
Oh, she's big into that. Like, we are totally different when it comes to that. Like, she would be all over science, all over that.
Right.
And I could care less.
That's
about
why
that.
You're perfect then.
Each right.
can
kind of,
she's got and her she strengths, does, you have your strengths.
There you go.
So you'd say Gary is a C. I don't know what Grandal is because, you know, I watch Dodger games, but not every single game. But what I don't like about him, and I think it's simple, and I think it's very tough to argue, the Los Angeles Dodgers said to you in the postseason, we don't think he's good enough to play every day right now. We're going to start Austin Barnes.
Right.
Now, what does that tell anybody? What does that tell you? And here's the other thing I'm really sick of. I'm sick of hearing this. Isn't Grandal better than Plawecki and Darnold? No kidding.
Wow.
Everybody's better than Plawecki and Darnold.
Close.
That's not saying a lot.
What's Grandal's numbers offensively?
This past season, he played 140 games, which is a really big number for a catcher.
Right.
He hit .241, had a .350 on base, which is very good.
It is good.
24 home runs, 68 RBIs. He had a very solid offensive year.
Solid offensive year.
Yeah, no question about it.
So he's not terrible.
Well, no, I never said he was terrible. It's that there are things about him that concern me. I mean, do you want to hear his postseason numbers?
No, I know they were bad. Go ahead, let me hear it, though.
No, forget about just this past year. In his career in the postseason, he's played 32 games, had 92 plate appearances.
Right.
Decent sample size.
Right.
107. 107.
That's 32 games. He's batting how many at-bats?
92 plate appearances, 75 at-bats. 107.
No, that's not good.
Does that concern you at all?
No,
it doesn't have to. You could say, look, give him another opportunity. He'll come through. He's due. You can argue that. And by the way, throwing out base runners, which is a part of defense, as we talked about.
What's the numbers
there? His career caught stealing percentage is below league average.
Mickey Callaway's on right now.
I don't care.
I'm just saying.
I'm so sick of hearing from him.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, Mickey Callaway's telling us what the lineup is. Since when do managers start
Robbie
announce...
Cano's going to bat third.
Yeah,
I did see that.
Even in Boston, Alex Cora's announcing his lineup.
Seriously, I mean, these people, this is at Mandalay Bay, right?
Yeah.
This is live right now, I'm assuming?
No. It's not live at 7 in the morning.
Well,
I think it's from last night.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, these people all hanging out and come on.
Well, because
they'd be like at the gambling table.
Well, because they have a chance to meet
a Yankee fan over there. Look at him.
Yes, they have a chance to meet baseball people and get autographs.
Yeah, no,
and whatnot.
I understand.
But I don't want to hear from Mickey Callaway. I saw him last night on MLB Network. I didn't care because right now he's irrelevant to me. What's relevant is Brody
Van
Wagenen.
Making decisions. What's he doing?
Right. He's telling us Robbie Cano's batting third. And he doesn't care if he hustles. That's also what he said.
Oh, did he say? I didn't hear that. Did he say that?
What he said, and I actually don't fully disagree with him, is he said, if Robbie Cano taking it easy running to first base, I'm paraphrasing here, is going to get him to play 140 games, then that's fine.
Right, right.
Which I kind of agree with him on. I remember Ken Griffey Jr. at the end of his career with Cincinnati would just gingerly walk to first base. And he would say, because I'm trying to stay healthy.
Right,
because
right.
I want to play as many games as I can.
Sense.
And at this age, I have to do things
like
that.
Maybe that's like his pitch for Manny Machado. You don't have to hustle, so Manny doesn't have to either.
Yeah, except they don't have $300 million to
willing to. They're showing the pitching options here for the Mets right now.
And aren't they bad, like I told you? They're very bad once you get past the front four.
Well, yeah.
There's no pitching depth.
There really isn't.
That's why, forgetting about taking away from the rotation, they have to add to their rotation,
right.
depth-wise.
Of course, right now they're asking them about trading Syndergaard, I'm sure, because they're showing highlights of Syndergaard. Who is the other guy there? Do you know who the other guy is?
What are you
Who's
talking about?
No, on the TV with Callaway.
I don't know. All I see is Mickey Callaway.
No, I know, but you'll see when they pan out a little bit.
You mean like the analysts?
Yeah, I guess. Not as showing Cespedes, which he's not even on the team right now. Why are you showing that?
Because they're probably asking him about Yoenis Cespedes, who I agree. I don't even think about
when
him on the team.
When he's on the team, hello. And I'm telling you, next year, his last year of his walk year, monster year.
Oh, no doubt.
He'll have a monster year.
No, I agree with that. I mean, that's the one thing about Cespedes. This year, I don't think about him, but in 2020, he's going to be fantastic.
Right.
And then you got to be smart enough to just let him go. And by the way, Sonny Gray's in his contract
now, right now, this is very interesting. Right now, he's showing the projected Met lineup with Todd Frazier playing first and McNeil playing third.
Why are you looking at that?
Well, because that's in front of me. It's my team.
Yeah, but it's not
real. If they
real.
Were showing me the Marlin lineup, I don't care.
But it's not real.
I
you
understand.
Buy that?
I don't understand. You know what I buy, bro?
What don't you buy?
I buy the fact that I got indigestion.
From what?
From the teams I root for. That's what I buy.
Well, the Mets shouldn't give you indigestion yet.
Well,
I thought you loved Brody. I love him.
So but then if they trade Syndergaard, I don't know how much love
they're
is
not
gonna
trading
be.
Syndergaard.
I know. I'm tidy. And I had to see this. And look, I love the Post. I'm a big fan of the New York Post. Do I need to see on the back page of the Post today Syndergaard in a Yankee uniform?
Hold on a second. No, you're wrong. You know what the article was?
No, but I understand
the article was don't trade Noah Syndergaard.
No, I understand it, but why do
so
I need
the problem?
So why do I need to see
to
him
sell newspapers.
In a Yankee uniform?
To sell newspapers.
Why? What is he doing? What Met fan is happy seeing that?
No Met fan is happy, but the whole—
Who is this guy here?
The whole thesis of the article— Dan Plesak.
Oh, that's who Plesak is.
Yeah. The whole thesis of the article is not to trade Noah Syndergaard. So how could you be upset about that?
No, I'm just saying, but my first thing today, look, I get the Post today, all right? And the first thing I do, I look at the back page.
Right.
And really, both sides was like made me delirious. The back page, I got to see. Who's this guy here? Who's that again? Here?
That's Mike Lowell.
Oh, Mike Lowell, yeah. The Red Sox. Yeah. Former World Series MVP.
That's right. Yeah.
Former Marlin. All right, so anyway. So the back page is Syndergaard in Yankee uniform.
Right.
All right? And I didn't read any of your articles yet. So I'm like, I'm ready. I'm mad. Then I flip it over, and what's on the back? It's Big Don, Nancy, and Chuck. I mean,
what's worse?
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
well,
no,
I don't
seriously.
Know.
You know what you should do, Joe? Like most of America.
And Mike Pence sitting there like he's dove on a normal day.
I don't think you said a word otherwise. He was comatose the whole time.
So I don't know. I'm like, wow, this is the paper today.
Dove talks a lot more than Vice President
Pence.
That's
a great point. Yeah. And here's the other thing, too. So as I can see, now I'm reading the articles. Now he's got a different lineup. Now Alonzo's playing first.
Oh.
And Frazier's back and clean up. Oh, the pain. So anyway. So then I'm reading the article by our buddy Brian Costello that the Jets should be thinking out of the box for a coach. Out of the box? Haven't we done that for how many years out of the box has it been? I mean, really, Brian? Out of the box. Okay.
You know what you need to do?
I know.
Can I give
you
advice in life?
I retire. That's what I need.
No, I wasn't even going to say that.
That's what I need to
do. Stop reading newspapers. All it does is cause you angst. The back page, the front page, articles.
There's very little these days that don't cause me angst. That don't cause me angst.
Think about this. Everybody, Joey's getting angst from a fake lineup on MLB Network.
I know, they keep showing it. What are they doing that for? While Legarris is playing center.
Bro.
Look at Mickey. He's got a smile. I still have a job. No, him, I mean.
He hasn't blown the lineup today.
Well, it's true.
It's a fake.
Well, he hasn't gotten the call from Brody on what the lineup is.
It's the second week of December, and you're upset with MLB Network's fake Met lineup.
Yeah, because.
I mean, come on.
Please show me another.
I gotta shut the chat. You want to change the channel?
Put it on the View or something.
That's gonna make you feel better. The View's gonna improve you.
Oh my God!
How about a channel called the Escape Channel?
What are we escaping from?
I have no idea.
I have no idea either.
You want me to put on YouTube and put on a Nets playoff game from the early 2000s?
No, don't do that.
No. How about a Knicks playoff game? Would you like that one?
No, I don't really need to see those either, unless you're showing me championship years.
Well,
right.
I mean, I got to go far back.
I don't know if YouTube has that.
No, they do. They have the, and I've seen it. I've actually seen, because NBA TV showed it, the dramatic Willis Reed game. They actually have.
Oh, really? Okay.
Also known as the Walt Clyde Frazier game, because he played pretty well in that game.
They did bury the Lakers in that game.
They did.
113-99.
So you'd watch that game again?
Yeah. I mean, there's other games I'd rather watch. Like I'll tell you the game I would rather watch.
Give me the game.
Very honest. Game 7 of the 1973 Eastern Conference Finals when the Knicks went into Boston and beat the Celtics.
Let me see if I can find it.
That game would be 94-78 was the final score. That game would be more – like, that game to me – obviously the championships, but, boy, becoming the first team ever to beat the Celtics in a seventh game in Boston was like – it was just a great moment. I mean,
I sort of found it, but it's only
Clyde's walking off the court, going like the number one and all of that. Oh, it was tremendous.
I found it, but it's only 32 minutes, which makes me think it's heavily, heavily edited. So
yeah,
it may
probably.
Not be as good.
I have to show it. I don't want to see it now, but all I mean, but it is out there. You're telling me it is out there.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, this YouTube thing, anytime anybody's bored. And you're sick of watching TV shows.
Because my buddy tells me they got like all these old Jet games I could watch, too.
Oh, yeah. I watched the AFL championship game.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I told
him.
Oh, absolutely. I watched the AFL championship game where, and I think I even told you that the Don Maynard catch down the sideline.
No question.
Wouldn't have been a catch down.
Not today. Right. Yeah. They would have reviewed it and said he never had, didn't have control going out of bounds.
There's a lot of good football games.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a TV show, everybody. It's called The Ranch. Great show. That is a very underrated. Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Okay.
Very good show. But if you don't watch that, just go on YouTube. You can watch all these old games.
Yeah.
It's not too bad, but they don't have everything. So having the entirety of that AFL game was kind of cool.
That's pretty good.
To see something like that. And I've noticed that when you go back and watch the old football games and the old baseball games, my feel is I enjoy it even more. I don't feel that way with basketball. Basketball, the older games, and I don't know if it's just that.
Why?
I know you're going to disagree, and that's fine. This modern game, I think, is flat out better.
Okay.
I really do. While I think the old football and the old baseball is better. So
now,
I'm a little different when it comes to the sport.
You know my feeling.
No, you like the hand checking.
Well, you could actually hit a guy coming down the lane.
You know what, though? It's only one game, so I don't want to draw conclusions. I'm not sitting here watching every game from the 80s and 90s. That game four.
Which one?
Nets-Cavs. Game three. I'm sorry. Game three, Nets-Cavs. Bro, they were calling everything.
Were they?
Yeah, they were not letting them play.
There were a lot of
ticky-tack fouls.
That's not good.
There was one offensive foul on Chris Dudley. I'm thinking, what?
Chris Dudley.
What are we doing here?
Oh, my God.
He had a big play in this game. Big tipping.
Did he?
Oh, yeah.
As long as he wasn't shooting free throws.
No, I know. He was
Chris
never
Dudley
very
was a good guy.
That.
He's actually one guy that actually, I think I had him on during my days when he was, the days with the Knicks, when he was on the Knicks on the overnight show once.
Interesting.
That wasn't bad.
I'll give you a little factoid about Chris Dudley. Yeah. We'll bring politics and sports together.
Okay. Was he running for senator somewhere?
Well, I think he did or something.
Okay.
College classmate of Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh.
Well, he went to Yale.
How about that? There you go.
Dudley went to Yale.
Yeah. And I guess they were classmates.
Yeah, I guess so.
Michael Irvin will join us a little bit later
on. What is he showing him here?
John Heyman tweeted that the Yankees are making strong progress on a Jay Happ deal.
Okay.
Ken Rosenthal reported it is agreed to.
Okay.
With Jay Happ deal.
Is that what you were showing him, Nick? I mean, Earn? Nick.
Nick.
I don't know. Don't ask me why. I'm telling you, I'm out of it today. Well, Ernie. Ernie. Your name is Ernie?
That's right. That's what he was showing me.
Nick.
Yeah. I read yesterday that Happ was basically going to take, I think this was from Heyman, that Happ was going to take the first team's offer that hit 3 years. That as soon as he got a three-year offer, he was going to say yes, and the Phillies were interested, and the Yankees were interested. And my thought was, why don't you go to Jay Happ and say, look, here are two guaranteed years, and the third year becomes fully guaranteed if you get to 190 innings or 180 innings, whatever
right,
that.
Right.
Because the whole concern about Hap is, hey, he's 36 years old. What is he going to be in year three? If he gives me innings in year two, I'd feel okay about having him for a third year. So I wonder if they met in the middle on a third-year vesting option or if the Yankees just say, you know what, we got to make sure we have an arm. Let's just give him the third year guaranteed. Hmm. But the vesting option makes sense. Put like an innings, put an innings thing in there.
Yeah, it's just not that juicy, J-Hap.
Well, because it's bringing him back.
With the Yankees. You know, it's, there's not a lot of juice there.
Here's the thing. And Cashman's got to realize this. The Yankee fan for the last 3 years, 4 years, all they heard about was getting under the luxury tax threshold.
Right.
And the thought was that was then to go out and spend a lot of money. Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, Dallas Keuchel, Clayton Kershaw, whomever. If the Yankees end up doing Paxton Happ and, you know, Jose Iglesias and Andrew Miller even, that's not going to be enough. I think there is the belief based on the last few years that this offseason was about spending serious money. And you're right, J-Hap doesn't really fit that.
Nope.
He was very good last year.
He was good. He's a pro. I mean, J-Hap to me is a pro. That's what he is.
But ask yourself this. Was this trade for J-Hap a success? Because he went 7-0, had a great ERA.
Right.
He was here to beat the Red Sox.
Right,
he made one start against the Red Sox and he lost.
Yeah. You know what? Nobody was beating the Red Sox this year. I mean, I think that we saw that, you know, for all the discussion we had about the Red Sox during the regular season and they had the worst 118 eight-win team we've ever seen. And all in all, they showed us that that was a lot of hogwash because they just blitzkrieged right through the playoffs. So I can't kill the guy because he didn't beat the Red Sox because nobody did.
Oh, no, I'm not killing him. You know what it is?
So I wouldn't say it wasn't a success with Hap. You know what I'm saying?
I that's what Ernie always
says. I would.
He was here to beat the Red Sox
for one game, and he lost.
All right. Well, so but nobody beat this team.
Okay, but you traded for him to get that. The whole reason to trade for him is because he only beat the Red Sox. And he didn't beat the Red Sox.
Yeah, well. Let me ask you this question. Was the trade the Mets made for Kenny Rogers a success?
I didn't think he was a terrible pitcher.
He wasn't. But he sucked in the playoffs.
But I thought Kenny Rogers got a bad rap
for
what happened at the end of that game six against the Braves. Because, first of all, he wasn't a relief pitcher, number one. They had already blown the lead twice with our two freaking closers on the mound.
Armando and Franco,
You know, so everybody kills Kenny Rogers, but it's like it's almost like the butt fumble with Sanchez. I mean, there's a lot of similarities with that.
No,
let's all laugh at Kenny Rogers. He wasn't a bad pitcher for the Mets. He wasn't bad.
You know what you did right there? You completely screwed up the point I was going to try to make because you gave a great answer. You gave the right answer. I thought you were going to say, oh, he was a disaster. The truth was, he wasn't. No, you're right. I'm just laughing.
Kenny Rogers is a starting pitcher. You put him in a situation where, you know, he's got no
margin. He wasn't good in the playoffs as a starter.
No, he wasn't.
But he was good down the stretch.
He was definitely good down the stretch.
Right.
No question.
The problem is when the Yankees traded for J-Hap, we knew they were making the playoffs. Right.
Of course.
The wild card game was the likely result, which was the case.
Right.
They won that game. Hap didn't pitch.
Right. Which we figured they would win that game.
Right.
It would have been a shock if they didn't.
But part of the appeal of J-Hap was his ability to beat the Red Sox. That's true. And he faced the Red Sox and didn't pitch well.
Right. No, he didn't.
That's the reality. Now, is it fair to call it a bad trade off one start? It's not fair. But I understand Ernie's perspective that was here to beat the Red Sox, and he didn't.
I get it.
Now, if they re-sign him, he'll have plenty of more opportunities against the Red Sox. We'll see what happens.
And you're telling me it looks like it's a done deal, right?
Rosenthal's reporting
it is. He's saying that he walked it back now. He's saying no agreement in place, but close.
Nope. Okay.
Well, here's what it comes down to. Are they giving him the third year or not?
Right.
That's what it comes
down
to. And
Hap is what, 35, 36?
36, yeah.
Well,
TC, Gardner, Hap, let's go.
There you go.
Can't wait.
It's not an inspiring offseason.
Well.
But.
Believe me, they'll inspire him. They will inspire at some point.
Well,
I would be stunned if they don't.
Because until Manny Machado and or Bryce Harper sign, they're a factor.
Of course.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.